We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
On the Cowboys Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, welcome to the Oklahoma Genetics Summer Series, brought to you by Oklahoma Genetics, bringing OSU's world-class wheat varieties to the farmers of the plains. Now, here's the voice of the Cowboys, Dave Hunziker.
Welcome to the Cowboys Summer Series, and today a visit with Cowboy baseball head coach Josh Holliday. Glad you're with us. Before we begin our interview, we'd like to tell you about one of Oklahoma State's outstanding new wheat varieties, Smith's Gold. And Smith's Gold is sure to pin down many challenges that wheat farmers face. Smith's Gold is an OSU product developed out of the legendary Gallagher variety. Smith's Gold offers better canopy hygiene, a later pull-off, and even better baking quality, as affirmed by the Wheat Quality Council. Smith's Gold also provides Hessian fly and green bug resistance and has improved resistance to stripe rust throughout the growing season. Smith's Gold also provides desirable flavor in whole wheat products. Smith's Gold is another in OSU's Graze and Grain and Golden Grain wheat varieties. Log on to okgenetics.com to learn more about Smith's Gold and other OSU-developed wheat varieties. Coming up, we start our interview with Cowboy baseball head coach Josh Holliday. This is the Cowboy Summer Series brought to you by Oklahoma Genetics and Learfield IMG College. This is the Cowboy Summer Series with Oklahoma State head baseball coach Josh Holliday. When you just think back to since you've come back to Oklahoma State and the success you've had, you know, what thoughts immediately come to mind when you think about your tenure as head coach?
Probably just the players and the guys that have played for us. And now that we've been here going on 7 full seasons, heading into year 8, how many of those guys are now off doing great things with their lives? The number of guys that have gotten married, started families, have great jobs, the guys that are still playing baseball, pursuing their dream of playing in the big leagues, the guys that are back finishing school, and just how fast time flies and how many groups of kids you get a chance to coach, and then you blink, and some of those guys are men with having built great lives for themselves. So that kind of puts into perspective how quick time does go by. It's exciting to see where these guys all move on to and go on to continue to pursue their next passion in life after school. So I think that's been pretty cool to sit back and really take a deep breath and recognize those guys. And at the same time, just the vision ahead, you know, to look ahead to the next 8 years of this experience and all the exciting things that we have to look forward to, all the great things that we have to be grateful for. And those things are they're pretty overwhelming. You know, it's not often you get a chance to do something you love. It's certainly rare to get to do it at a place that you love. And then to have the resources committed to your sport, the way Coach Holder and the school has committed to baseball and given us a chance to realize a dream with the new facility and chase championships, we feel very lucky to be where we're at.
Speaking of that, the new facility, how will it benefit you the most?
Well, it's just when you see it, it's a strong statement of how important baseball is here. It's a strong statement that we would rally together as an athletic department and a school to build a world-class facility here in Stillwater where the best and brightest kids in the country can go to college and get an education and be trained to play baseball at the highest level and also be part of a team that's chasing excellence. Obviously, we know our goals every year are to be the very best we can be, but we want that to eventually land in a national championship setting. And when you see it, it really makes a strong statement of how serious we are about pursuing that level of excellence. And I think what it does for anyone that comes to town is it lets them realize it's no longer just talk and drawings and plans, but a real, true facility that's just around the corner from being open. When you look at the impact it's had on recruits and people across the college baseball landscape, every time people see photographs or video updates or images, they continue to grow even more curious about just how nice is this place really going to be. So I think people are excited to see what the final product is, and I think when people get a chance to walk into Obrate Stadium at some point, they're going to be blown away because it really is a one-of-a-kind facility, unique in its own way to every other facility in the country, and designed with all of our priorities in mind, that being the development of our players, the atmosphere and environment for our fans, and something the Oklahoma State fans and our university can come to that facility with tremendous pride knowing we have something that's very unique.
What stands out as most unique about the stadium, not only perhaps from your perspective, but just perhaps as a fan that'll go in the ballpark?
Well, for fans, I think it's going to be incredible because it's going to be such an amazing venue to watch baseball. The seating is low and close to the field of play. The different seating angles and seating options, I think, will reach all of our fan base, whether it's a baseball diehard that wants to sit right behind home plate and hear the pitch come in, whether it's someone that's bringing a young family to the ballpark and needs some room to spread out and let their kids run around, someone who's coming out for the enjoyment of a social setting and food and drink. There's tremendous ballpark amenities to service the crowd and really just a creative way that the ballpark can reach all different types of fans. And we wanted the student body engaged. We wanted the young families across Stillwater and Payne County to be engaged. We wanted our baseball traditionalists to have a place that they could sit. And we wanted to have something that when someone comes to watch a baseball game there, they want to come back again because it's so enjoyable. So those things I think we've no doubt capitalized on. I think we've no doubt thought about the importance of parking. We'll have an amazing parking situation for our fans. Great sight lines and seating options for our handicapped or elderly fans that need special seating that maybe Reynolds Stadium didn't provide as much of, and family seating, safe seating for families and young children. So when you look at that, combined with some of the luxury seating and the new food and beverage opportunity to go to a baseball game and just have a tremendous social experience, I think we hit it out of the park. From a baseball standpoint, I can't wait to see how the field itself plays. And how the ball will carry. You know, it's such a big stadium, and that the second deck, I think, could change the wind pattern just a bit. But it is oriented, much like Reynolds Stadium, where the prevailing south wind will be a wind that blows out. And that early season prevailing north wind will probably be blowing right in our face. So how the field plays is something I'm excited to see. I think the ability to train our players is going to be the biggest difference because we're going to be able to organize and take our kids through practices and training opportunities every single day that will, one, maximize the kids' time, which is super important. Two, make us really efficient and allow us to cover more and more of the fundamentals of the game that need to be trained on a daily basis. And I think it's going to create, and probably the most beneficial thing it's going to do is create an energy about the experience that we've never had, because it's something about the newness, the pride, the wow factor for us, the gratefulness that we feel to have this, to honor this program that all players, coaches, and fans will share.
It's interesting. Facilities are important in every sport at the major college and especially Power 5 level. But for baseball, because of the unique element of not only recruiting against other schools, but recruiting against the pros, that makes it entirely different, does it not?
Well, it is. I mean, we've got some tremendous baseball programs in this part of the country that have built some great facilities, and we've run into those programs countless times on the field and certainly in a recruiting game. So obviously now we have something that's a little more modern and certainly much more up to par with our competitors, that's for sure. When you talk about getting the commitment from the player to your school, then the next step is getting that special player to arrive on campus. And the Major League Baseball draft is very enticing for young men out of high school, because it is your first chance to see where you stand in the eyes of professional baseball. We want all the players that we recruit to dream of one day playing in the major leagues, but where we're going to be able to do some things for the kids is in our ability to train them once they get here. And the strength and conditioning, the skill development, the nutrition, the personal care they get with our athletic training staff, the way their bodies are looked after, and really the development of their minds and so many personal skills, those are things that a young man would choose college to go and work on. And those are things that now we feel like this facility will allow us to do an even better job of providing a comprehensive experience to where a kid who comes out of high school and is offered a chance to make a decision. Do I either go to college and develop in the college setting, building my personal investment in education, or do I go ahead and sign a professional contract out of high school? We feel like we'll have even more to offer that young man coming out of high school. And hopefully with that, you know, you continue to get more and more blue chip players, if you will, that make the decision to invest in themselves on a college campus for 3 years rather than turning pro. And it's not to say that decision can't be great for some guys to turn pro out of high school. There's been a number of guys that have made that decision and been successful. But what we're seeking to do is provide the best developmental situation we can, to provide facilities and people inside of those facilities to guide and direct these young men and get them ready to be the best version of themselves, so that when they do turn pro, they're a little bit further along in their development and hopefully more prepared to go take on the great challenge of professional baseball.
And you've talked a lot about development there, but let's be honest. For most families, staring at $1 million signing bonus, for lack of a better term, that's a big number. But I think based on what I've heard you talk about and how you present to families, that number can be a bit misleading. There's more to it than just a number, but it's easy for us on the outside just to see that number and say, oh my gosh, that's a big number. It's a little more complicated than that based on what I've heard you say.
Well, there's no doubt that $1 million is still an amount of money in today's day and age that gets all of our attention. I think when you're talking about it in terms of a signing bonus, you have to understand that while it is $1 million bonus, you're not going to take home all of that money. You're going to have to start paying taxes as a real grown-up, even though you're only 18 years old. And then, obviously, some of that money is going to have to be used during the course of your journey to the major leagues to offset your minor league salary, which is certainly not a whole lot. But the whole idea of college is to go to a university and to a campus and not only invest in yourself as a baseball player, but to work towards getting your education and to having a degree in something that when the game of baseball comes to an end, which for all players it will at some point, that you have the benefit of a college education that you're ready to use to pursue the next phase of your professional or adult life. If you were to make it successfully and have a long, extended professional career, then maybe the dependency on a degree for your earning power isn't as much. But what I think kids face a really challenging decision out of high school, because in their heart they're curious and they have great desire to turn professional and chase a dream. And at the same time, many of them thoroughly enjoy their college experience, what it does for them as people, the value of education, and then obviously a chance to compete and play college baseball, where many guys have found great success and developed and moved on. So it's a tough decision for kids. It's a tough decision for families. I've been part of that decision-making process myself. I've experienced it with my own family and many people we're close to. And we know that it's one of those decisions that each kid has to make on his own. But what we're trying to build at Oklahoma State would be an environment where somebody that wants the best of both worlds, both educationally and baseball development, they can go and pursue those things and feel really good about investing 3 years or 4 years of their life right here in Stillwater and walking out of here a more prepared young man, certainly somebody with an education and obviously somebody that now can go tackle professional baseball as a man versus having to take on that challenge as a young man or a boy coming out of high school. And so that's a big part of the college baseball setting. Most of the elite programs that have played for championships or won them have a number of very talented players that have to make that decision. And you want to be on the side of, unless it is indeed a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for that young man out of high school, you want as many of those key players to make it to college as possible.
We are once again joined by Dr. Brett Carver, Oklahoma State University wheat breeder. Oklahoma Genetics is the marketing arm of the Oklahoma State University wheat breeding program, and they are the sponsor of this program. You know, we've covered a lot of things during the summer series as it pertains to wheat, but, you know, we play in the Big 12 athletically. You deal with the Big 12 in terms of wheat diseases.
Exactly, Dave. Very, very good point. About half of the 300,000 data points we deal with for a given variety release address disease resistance. So that's a very big part of the program. And again, there's about 12 of them. There could be more depending on certain years. But let's just kind of go through those. The common cold of wheat is what we call leaf rust. That's a big one. We have to think about that almost every year. Stripe rust as well. Didn't really think about stripe rust until this century, actually. In the Great Plains, but now we think about it every year. So that's two out of the 12. What are some others? We had the viruses. So the big ones in the southern Great Plains are barley yellow dwarf. That's like a big-time flu. Then we have wheat soilworm mosaic, wheat spindle streak mosaic, and wheat streak mosaic. There are other viruses, but those are the big ones. Then we had the leaf spotters and powdery mildew. Powdery mildew disease is even more important in other parts of the world, but here we have our share of it. But the leaf spotters would be like Septoria triticide blotch or Septoria leaf blotch and spot blotch. But then we have physiological leaf spotting, which is not really a disease in terms of, you know, a pathogen causing it, but it is a disease. And then we have Fusarium head blight. It's about 12 diseases right there. Didn't even mention stem rust, which in some parts of the Great Plains is a big factor. So what does this all mean in terms of the wheat producer? You better know your variety. You have to know what that variety can do because no variety has resistance to all those diseases. And in a given year, we may see certain diseases more important than others. We won't see all diseases. So each and every year of crop production produces a very unique set of circumstances. And so therefore, you're going to see in these variety trials that we talked about, different varieties looking better in certain years than others. And it's just a nature of the game, the disease game that we have to play.
That's Oklahoma State University wheat breeder Dr. Brett Carver. Later on, when we catch up with Dr. Carver again, what's coming down the pipeline in terms of wheat varieties? More to come on the Cowboy Summer Series, brought to you by Oklahoma Genetics and Learfield IMG College. Back with Josh Holliday on the Cowboy Summer Series, brought to you by our friends at Oklahoma Genetics. Let's go back to what we were talking about a moment ago. You were talking about players making the decision to come to college. I'm guessing it's probably in the close to two-thirds rate now of opening day major league starters are now college players that have come to college and played for some period of time and then signed professionally. And that, I'm guessing, is quite a bit different than what it used to be. What do you think has led to that change?
Well, it's very difficult to get to the major leagues, period, no matter what your route or what your starting point is. Major League Baseball is the best of the best, and it's not just the best of the best here in the United States, but it's the best baseball players in the world. And when you open the doors to Japan and obviously the amazing players that have made their way to the major leagues from Canada and all across the incredible Dominican Republic and Venezuelan players and so on and so forth, it's just a very, very high-level game, and to make it is it requires just a really incredible player. I would say, in saying that, college baseball has proven to be a pretty competitive environment, so I think college baseball has done a good job of putting players in front of large crowds, of playing meaningful baseball. So the college baseball setting, I think, has enhanced a lot of guys' ability to perform under pressure because they've been exposed to it. I think college campuses and athletic departments have done a great job of helping players build their bodies through strength and conditioning and feeding their bodies through high-level nutrition. So that's definitely an area where 170-pound pitcher who comes into college at 6'3" and walks out of here 3 or 4 years later at 220 pounds is a much more physical, durable athlete than maybe he was at, say, age 18. So the development of young men's bodies in college is something that the amateur baseball players benefited from a great deal. I think we got some tremendous coaches and teachers in college baseball across the board. And I think the same thing could be said for professional baseball. What really I think a young man has to be most prepared for, if he were to take the jump out of high school, is he just has to be very mentally tough, because there's a tremendous amount of, I would say, durability that you have to handle the long season. And some really strong-minded, mature kids have proven that you can go out and handle it. But you got to be one of those kids that's very well prepared, somebody that's been trained mentally to be a strong performer and competitor at a very young age. And some guys possess those qualities, and we've certainly seen a number of our heroes make that journey. So, again, each guy has to make a decision. I think the college game has done a great job of taking the players that weren't quite as ready for pro ball out of high school and building those kids up and getting them ready for pro careers. And then some of the real true elite cream of the crop players out of high school who are front and center in the draft have also been successful in making it. So you just got to be one of those real special ones out of high school that's got a lot of physical and emotional development under your belt.
One more thought on that subject. Things have become a little strange at the big league level with older players not being signed to the type of contracts they were signed to before, and we're about to reach ahead with a potential collective bargaining agreement, disagreement, for lack of a better description. Do you have to keep an eye on that at all, because the psychology of young people might change? Is that something that even impacts a college game? How do you read that? Because it looks like we're headed towards something. Perhaps we don't know exactly what.
Well, obviously, Major League Baseball has a huge economic model and a massive amount of business and industry behind the decisions they make. I would say probably in general, Major League Baseball has become more driven by information and data and maybe not quite as in tune with the value of older players and the intangible effect they might have on a team. That being said, if they indeed hunt younger players that are less expensive than veteran older players that may be making more money, then it might change the face or the shape or the look of some major league organizations. But as far as it reaching down into our level, I wouldn't think it would as much unless people are simply overreacting to what maybe is a push to be younger. I mean, you only make it if you're good enough, and if you're good enough, you make it. So just being younger but not being ready doesn't necessarily guarantee you a whole lot. I do think that what all major league players aspire to do is to get to the major leagues, and then once you get there, to be able to stay long term and be successful. In order to do that, you've got to be pretty mentally and physically mature so that you can sustain a career. So what I think all players should strive for, no matter what your perspective is, it's not just to reach the major leagues, but how would I get there and then sustain a career long enough to where it can be a career that, one, allows me to enjoy the game deep into my career, and also play the game well enough to someday capitalize on economically, which normally occurs sometimes after your fifth or sixth season.
Your brother was one of those players, Matt, who had a wonderful seven-year all-star career in the big leagues and has the credentials of a Hall of Famer. We'll see how that plays out as the future unfolds. But now you've got Matt here on your staff. Your dad is back here, Tom, living in Stillwater. How much fun has it been to have the whole family here?
Well, it's pretty awesome. I mean, you know, the last time our family was all in one place, I was going to say, was 1998. Matt was a senior in high school and made the decision to begin his professional baseball career. And obviously from that point, he was out pursuing his life and he and Leslie building their family. And he obviously was fortunate to have a very successful career, played a long time. My dad and I both have continued to pursue our careers, which took us to different places across college baseball, which we're both super grateful for. And then to be able to come back to Stillwater and raise our children and put them through school in this community, which is something that meant a lot to Jenny and I as parents, and I think means a lot to Matt and Leslie as parents as well. And then to have Mom and Dad here, it's just, you know, you don't realize how much it matters to you to see the people you care about and love the most. And to do it, you know, and see our children grow up together and have those friendships and relationships that extend far deeper than being cousins, you know, that's just really, really cool. So we're thankful that this is, you know, that Oklahoma State has brought us back here. We're thankful that baseball has given us a lifestyle or a way to live our lives and do things that we love. And so I would say probably nobody luckier and more fortunate than we are.
You know, baseball fans certainly understand what Matt accomplished. And as I mentioned, he basically hit 300 for his career and more than 300 home runs. And I believe every single player that's done that is in Cooperstown in the Hall of Fame. So those are big-time credentials. So people understand from that standpoint what Matt brings as a part of your staff. What are one or two things that he brings with him that someone who's just a casual fan or even a big baseball fan may not see that you will feel in your organization?
Well, I don't, you know, Matt was one of those players that was so focused on his performance and the way that he went about playing the game. He was a true professional, and he handled himself that way. He rarely, if ever, brought any attention to himself, or did people really dive in to totally understand the fun and colorful and unique person that he is to go along with being a great major league player. That's how we saw him. But to know Matt now as an adult and know him now as a person who is ready to do the next thing with his life now that he's done playing, he's just a very caring man. He's just a very good man. He's got great desires to understand these kids and where they're headed in life, to help them with not just baseball, but their thought processes about who they want to become, their decision-making off the field about how to grow into a really good young leader, how to be a great teammate, and then how to dream big and have a perspective about their lives is something I know excites him about being involved with the team. And so I think, one, he provides a great example to the kids on this team of how to be a good man, that you can be a successful professional athlete and still raise a family and be a good man in the ways that we want our kids to model their behavior. I think his knowledge for the game and his experiences in the game, they speak for themselves. But I think, more importantly, I think he will be very good at developing relationships with our players. He'll have instant credibility with them because kids these days, they do respect guys that have played the game at the highest level. And then from there, he will grow in his coaching journey, much like all of us do when we get started. And I'm sure day after day he'll realize this is one of the most rewarding and yet challenging things you could ever choose to do, and that's to try to coach people and grow them. So he'll do great. He'll provide a great energy to the group and to the program, and I'm sure he will dive right in with these kids.
It's funny, one of the first things you said about Matt was how much he cares about people. And I think sometimes with your dad, Tom, of course, they see the outside and they don't understand just how much he cares still about his players. Is that one of the things about your dad that, you know, probably kind of like Matt, he kept to himself, but is very genuine? I've seen it, and I don't know that, honestly, in all my years in college sports, I've seen a coach who is so connected with his players, and it's so deep. I mean, it's unique.
Well, I mean, I would tell you that watching as a little kid growing up here and observing what my dad did, it's what made me want to coach, was to see the impact and relationship and care that he had for the players that came through Oklahoma State, the time he spent with them, the times when guys would come to our home when I was a little kid upset or homesick, and he would help them stick it out and figure things out or be there for them when something happened. To me, I viewed that as something that would have been really rewarding to follow in his footsteps. And so this is a day and age, Dave, where I think too many times, in my own opinion, good deeds are photographed or captured for public display, for people to indulge in themselves for good acts of kindness. Whereas in my dad's day and age, you didn't see those things. They were just what you did. You did it because it was from your heart, and it's what made you who you were. You didn't do it to be captured or celebrated. And probably through the Oklahoma State era in the 80s and 90s and kind of building the tough, powerful image that Oklahoma State baseball possessed, both he and Coach Ward, were never accurately portrayed for the kind and caring people that they genuinely are. And to this day, they're still that way. But I think too many times a photograph or a run-in or a competitive moment on a field creates a perception about people that's simply a perception, but not necessarily the reality. And in many cases, too, nowadays we create realities we want people to believe about who we are, and then behind closed doors, that's not the person that you see. So I think really what my dad has always been and will always be is real. And he treated his players that way. He does to this day care about those guys. And, you know, that's really what life is about, is the people that know you, knowing that if they ever needed you at the toughest moment, they could call you and you'd be there for them.
How are you most alike your dad and most different as a coach?
Well, I'm most like him probably in that, you know, I have a hard time shutting my mind off or putting this down. I mean, every single day you wake up to serve this program and serve its needs and care about it, look out for it, make sure it's taken good care of, make sure that while you're here, responsible for the things that go on, that everything is being done the right way. I learned that by watching him. You know, we didn't do vacations. We took baseball trips. You know, we didn't take time off. We went to the field. You know, that was just the way we were raised. And so I say in many ways, you know, watching Oklahoma State baseball as a kid and then playing it and then working here, there's a protective gene that you develop that you want to protect this program and make sure it stays great. So I definitely inherited that from him, work ethic-wise and intensity to compete. Those are all the great things that I've learned from him for sure. How we're different, you know, I don't really know. I don't know, other than I would think that every child and every parent, you thrive and feed off of some of the strong character traits that your parents share with you. And then at the same time, you learn and observe other behaviors as a child too. I probably have a ton of my mom in me, and all the great things that she stands for. So I think I'm hopefully the very best that both of them taught us as kids. And, you know, a little bit of who I am has probably been developed slowly but surely over time through my life experiences. But, yeah, I would say I was taught to compete at a very young age, and we weren't raised in a sympathetic environment. We were raised in a competitive environment. We were raised to take challenges on head on and to solve problems and to never take no for an answer.
More with Cowboy baseball head coach Josh Holliday coming up. In the meantime, we want to tell you about Green Hammer, another outstanding OSU-developed wheat variety marketed to our friends at Oklahoma Genetics. Well, Green Hammer puts the hammer down when it comes to yield production. Green Hammer offers a yield protection advantage under leaf and stripe rust pressure that may lead to lower input costs. And Green Hammer offers one of the highest protein levels for hard winter wheat. Green Hammer also offers Hessian fly resistance with a top-tier test weight. It's also been recognized for excellent milling and baking quality by the Wheat Quality Council. Put the hammer down with Green Hammer. Log on to okgenetics.com to learn more. More to come with OSU baseball head coach Josh Holliday on the Cowboy Summer Series, brought to you by Oklahoma Genetics and Learfield IMG College. This is the Cowboy Summer Series, brought to you by Oklahoma Genetics, with Cowboy baseball coach Josh Holliday as we continue our conversation about Oklahoma State University baseball. It's interesting. It seems to me in my 4 years doing television, we all know taxes are due April 15th, but there seems to be another almost guaranteed springtime occurrence. In late May, Oklahoma State will be playing its best baseball of the year. How do you make that happen? That's been, at least in my time, being close to the program, very consistent. How do you do it?
Well, obviously, when the team finds its groove and plays well, the players deserve the credit because players play. Coaches coach. What our kids have been able to do for us year in, year out is find the courage to perform their very best when it mattered the most, and to do so with great unity amongst each other. Last year's team was probably one of the most enjoyable groups to watch, put that on display, that we've had in quite some time. And the credit goes to the kids. The leadership of kids like Colin Simpson and Jensen Elliott, and the growth of kids like Trevor Boone, and those kids deserve the credit for that because they were here and they made those things happen and they chose to be here. You know, when Jensen Elliott came back for his fourth year and Colin Simpson came back for his senior year, those were very invested kids that cared more about Oklahoma State baseball and what it meant to them than launching into a pro career the year before. So with every great team and with strong postseason performances and finishes, the young men that step forward to allow that to happen deserve the credit. Now, our job as coaches is to have a plan in place and to provide them information and guidance to help them find that best version of themselves. And so, obviously, we take great pride in that, and we work very hard to make sure our kids can get into position to be their best when it matters the most. Sometimes in this part of the country, weather could slow you down a little bit in January and February. So March is spent maybe finding yourself, and then April, May, and June, you need to be there. So it's the hard work of the players. It's the courage they possess to play their very best when it matters the most. It's a compliment to the history of Oklahoma State baseball, because the kids here don't want to let this program and what it stands for down. And I would say probably one of the things that I would, without question, recognize for that's Rob Walton. You know, we've been here together now for 8 years. We've had some streaks of excellence down the stretch where we've pitched at a very, very high level. And when you pitch your best baseball and pitch championship baseball late in the season, you have a chance to make runs like you're speaking on. So, you know, to have that continuity with him, he's been an unbelievable coach and teacher to our kids. He's been an unbelievable coach and partner to work with from my perspective, and very grateful for all the contributions he's made here. So I think, you know, we want to be the best. We understand where we've gotten to. We understand where we've come up short of our ultimate goal. But what we have accomplished countless times is we've reached a true team multiple times, and that's a group of kids that are all in on what we're doing. And last year's team was a true team. And despite being, you know, six outs from Omaha and not getting there, we did win the ultimate challenge, and that was to get kids to give us everything they had.
You know, with that thought in mind, baseball is a team game, but yet it's so individual. And you'll have one guy that's hit 600 over his last 10 games, and then the guy hitting next to him in the cage at batting practice is 0 for his last 20. How do you manage the minds so that collectively things continue to flow? Because when guys are down, they're down. I mean, it's so unique that way. What do you do to manage the minds and make sure that somebody doesn't drag somebody else down? Because it's very unique.
Well, you keep score in your mind as a coach about where do you think each kid's at each day. And if you know a guy's in a good spot, I kind of, in my mind, see that kind of green arrow, like he's trending the right way. And you just try to keep that young man going, try to keep his routine the same, you know, not change anything with him, let him maintain that focus that he's found that's working. If you get a guy kind of in a yellow light mode where he's a little stuck in the middle, you give him some positive encouragement and just try to move him back to green and keep him going. And maybe that's a reminder or a video clip of when he was doing great, so he knows what it looked like or felt like. Or maybe it's just pulling him aside for a minute and telling him, hey, tonight's your night, something to plant that positive seed. If you get a guy who's kind of at a red light phase where he's stuck, or he needs to kind of be restarted, or he needs to be told that, hey, I know you're struggling, so let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. Let's move back the right direction. That might be a conversation. It might be a game plan. It might be something that you show the player in writing, hey, this is what we're going to do to make an adjustment to get you going. So you have to keep a constant instinctual score of how your kids are emotionally and work with them each day to get them all moving towards, say, a green light perspective, which is all speed, full speed ahead. And if you do find yourself sliding back and forth a little bit, know the cues or the proper words to use to try to move a guy back into a green mode. I kind of see him all through that phase. And if I know a guy's struggling, you got to get to him. You got to help him before he gets a deeper hole. Matchup after matchup, there are less secrets and there's more information. So I think you have to be very prepared. You have to be very in tune with the opponent, but also how your team matches up and also what your players are capable of doing. You can't ask a pitcher to make a pitch that he doesn't have. So you're constantly balancing your strengths, their strengths, and the situation at hand, and then making strategic decisions based on that. So we're probably catching up in some ways to the video and analysis and strategies that professional baseball have been using. And we're probably catching up, quite honestly, to the video and breakdowns that college football and basketball have had access to over the years because they've been on television more. We're starting to now see more and more of that with baseball.
And joining us once again is Dr. Brett Carver, Oklahoma State University wheat breeder, Oklahoma Genetics, the sponsor of the summer series, and OGI, as it's known, is the marketing arm of Oklahoma State's world-class wheat breeding program. So I think now farmers have heard a lot, they've been educated a lot, or perhaps they've had a chance to get their memories refreshed on some certain topics. Now as we have our final visit, what's coming down the pipeline? What do farmers need to be aware of that may be the varieties coming down the pipeline?
Of course, there's pipelines all over the Great Plains with other programs, but I can talk about this one for sure, and that's the Oklahoma State University wheat breeding pipeline. And it is full. I just really get excited about this time of year because we can finally see now the consequence and the good results of all that hard work that went into developing these varieties. And it's like a 10 to 12 year process. So we have multiple pipelines, actually. We're looking at hard white wheat. We definitely think that is our future. And we need more choices out there for the wheat producer to make in terms of hard white wheat. So what Stardust was released 3 or 4 years ago, it's time for another one. And I think we have something that's going to be very attractive in terms of disease resistance, productivity, and the quality that the processors are looking for. Then I think just kind of a game-breaking phenomenon going on. Thanks to some research done at other universities, Purdue University to be exact, we have a really interesting trait that we can now, it's not a GMO trait, it's just a conventional trait, that we can introduce in our varieties that provide barley yellow dwarf resistance. We have some degree of resistance right now, but to have this level of resistance, I think, is going to be game-breaking. So we're looking at that. In fact, a candidate line was in the variety trials conducted by Oklahoma State University this past year. So it's no secret. It's out there. But we didn't have the barley yellow dwarf, so we could really show it off, just what it can do. We're looking at a beardless wheat. You know, it's been many years since peat was released, and peat came about in a time in which stripe rust changed, and so it didn't handle stripe rust very well. Delivers our beardless option being used, and that's over 10 years old. So we need something new, innovative, and we have it. I can't give you any names at this point, but we have numbers, and those numbers will go with the varieties as they go into the variety trials. That's just a kind of a sampling. There's more coming.
That's Dr. Brett Carver, Oklahoma State University wheat breeder. More to come on the Cowboy Summer Series, brought to you by Oklahoma Genetics and Learfield IMG College. Back for final time with Josh Holliday on the Cowboy Summer Series. One question to wrap this up. Has this turned out for you as head coach pretty much the way you'd planned?
Oh, man. I didn't really know how this would turn out. It happened fast. And one night I'm coaching at Vanderbilt, and the next day I'm flying back to Stillwater. I mean, it went from a Monday night getting beat in a regional at Vanderbilt, a place that I loved and was completely satisfied with. I mean, I loved my job. I loved my boss. I was grateful I had a job, and coaching there was wonderful, to a chance to come back here. And the time that it took to fly in here and ultimately for this to happen, I didn't have a lot of time to know what to expect or think. I was nervous. I was excited. I was scared. I was determined. I had all the emotions that anyone that tells you the truth about what it feels like to take on being a head coach, you feel. And so I had all those emotions. I mean, I was, like I said, I was scared. I was excited. I was happy. I was sad I was leaving Vanderbilt. I was happy I was coming home. I had just this wide range of emotions that I felt going through it. And then the minute it happened, it's almost like everything just took off. And from that day forward, I've never stopped and even thought about it. I mean, it's just been 7 years of working with people to build something that we all love and something we can all be proud of. And the great people that have worked with us to do this have been fantastic. The coaches and players that have allowed this to happen have been fantastic. We've grown in so many ways since I was hired. I mean, you know, when I was hired, I could hear your voice on basketball and football, and now you're calling 20 games a year. Our baseball's broadcast out all across the country now. I mean, so we've grown that standpoint. Obviously, the facility, we're going to grow into a world-class facility. The team has played really, really well. That's something we're all really proud of. We've done well in school. So all those things that I knew had tremendous value and importance, we just worked at them as a group, and we've made great strides. But, yeah, I would say it's been a blast. It's been a lot of work. It's been not work in the sense that you see it as work, but work in the sense that you knew there was still even more for us to do, and we feel that way. There's more to do, and we want to be the best, and we know that at times we've tasted a little bit of what that flavor is, and we want more of it. So, yeah, I would say I'm probably way beyond blessed that it's been this this good of an experience, and I hope our fans appreciate what the teams have given us. I hope they are thankful to the players that have given us 3 and 4 years of their lives, some of them 5. And we'll continue to support what we're doing so that the kids feel real special. Beyond that, you know, always had a theory to try to make something, leave it better than you found it. And I think right now we've elevated this baseball program and the experience of the kids inside it. And we will continue to work to do that every single day.
Josh, this has been great. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
That's Josh Holliday on the Cowboys Summer Series. Back to wrap things up in a moment. This is the Cowboys Summer Series brought to you by Oklahoma Genetics and Learfield IMG College. Back to wrap things up on the Cowboys Summer Series. And before we go, a word about Lone Rider, another outstanding OSU-developed wheat variety marketed through Oklahoma Genetics. Lone Rider stands alone in high yield potential. Lone Rider has the broadest geographic reach among all the OSU varieties throughout the Western Plains. Want strong yields without the weak straw? Lone Rider has the standability and short stature, good for maximizing irrigated yields, and finishes early with a large kernel. Saddle up with Lone Rider. Log on to okgenetics.com to learn more. We hope you've enjoyed the Cowboys Summer Series, and once again, our thanks to Oklahoma Genetics for making these conversations possible. I'm Dave Hunziker. Thanks for listening. This has been the Cowboys Summer Series, brought to you by Oklahoma Genetics and Learfield IMG College.
On the Cowboys Sports Network, from Learfield IMG College, this has been the Oklahoma Genetics Summer Series, brought to you by Oklahoma Genetics, bringing OSU's world-class wheat varieties to the farmers of the plains. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Cowboys Sports Network.